All right, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, we just sang the song, and God laid this on my heart, and I had no intention of preaching this morning, but He gave me something, so I want to give it to you. That song we just sang, there is a lot of significance to singing that song in the day that we're living in. Amen? I still believe the old way works. There's no reason to change it. There's no reason to change anything about it. Oh, I got to hit start. There we go. All right. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And I'll get to the last part here in just a second. But this verse is what Jeremiah is preaching, and he's preaching what God told him to preach about staying in the old paths. And man, we're living in a day of change. We know that. We know of all the changes that take place. People will heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. They'd much rather hear a teaching preacher than a sin preaching against sin and preaching against whatever else is going on. They'd rather have somebody teach. And there's a place for teaching. A pastor ought to be apt to teach. You should know the difference between the two. But thank God for preaching. And Jeremiah preached in a day when preaching was not popular. He preached in a time that got him thrown in prison. And that may happen again. But I'm here to tell you today that I choose to stay in the old paths. Amen. You say, what about a crowd? Who cares as long as Christ is pleased, as long as He's lifted up and magnified? Every time I find counsels in the Bible in large crowds, there's problems. Amen. I'd rather be right with God. Let me give you these three things, and I got 2.5 minutes. First of all, we see the instruction of the staying in the old paths. The instruction came from God Himself. I want to tell you this morning that staying in the old paths and doing it God's way is not man's invention. The old ways and the old time religion and the King James Bible and Bible preaching and the foolishness of preaching, those are not things that are man-made. Those are commandments and instructions from God. Here's a novel idea. Have church the way that God wants church. What do you have for my kids? I got it the way that God wants it. What do you have for my marriage? I got it the way that God wants it. You say, well, we need to have this, this, and this. Show me in the Bible where we need any of that. We need to do it God's way. Well, it won't reach anybody. That's the Lord's problem, not mine. I just sang it the old time way. Many of you that are in here today, if not everybody, got saved under old fashioned Bible preaching. It's the old way. First of all, the instruction. He told them to stand, see, and ask. Man, I tell you what, we just need to stand up and get our head out of the sand and just look and see that the way that modern Christianity is going is the wrong direction. I want a church of my choice. No, how about a church of God's choice? How about a preaching of God's choice? Not only the instruction, but the individuality. You say, you see that in here? Yeah, it says ways, paths. That's plural. You say, what does that mean? That means one church might not do it just like we do it. That doesn't necessarily mean they're wrong as long as they're in the old path. There's paths and ways. That's plural. That's more than one. I find that we can have a church and we can please God and there could be another one down the road that's doing it as long as they're in the old paths. As long as they're still in the old paths. We believe in individual soul liberty. That's a part of what makes us a Baptist church. It may be the more than one way. And you say, well, I don't like the way they do that. Are they in the old paths? Then who cares? If it's modern music and modern, I got in the last one, you see the interlude, they get rest. Do it God's way and you'll have rest. And last of all, we see the ignorance. They said, we will not. There's people today, Christians, that got up this morning and said, we will not do it the old way. Come on. The only amen I got from Brother Bobby is when I stopped. All right, Elijah, you got 4 minutes. Let me pull this chair over here. All right, hop up there. All right, ready? What's like a trumpet? Preachers, you guys help each other out. Even after you're done preaching.
Turn to John 1. Turn to John chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. 1 John 2, chapter 2, verse number 3. The title of my message today is How Can I Know For Sure That I Am Saved? Right here on John, 1 John chapter 2, verses 3, it says, And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And one way that I know for sure that I'm saved, I know that I'm saved because I desire to keep God's commandments. Amen. And follow his word. Right. Some people don't desire to, and that means they're not saved. And if you're a Christian, you should desire to keep his commandments and follow his word. My second point, turn to verse John 5, 4. Chapter 5, verses 4. It says, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Another reason how I can know for sure that I'm saved is because I am overcoming the world. And some people today who are not Christians aren't overcoming the world, and sin keeps swallowing them up. But as Christians, we should be able to overcome the world. Next, turn to John 10:27. This is another way that we can know for sure that we are saved. The verse says, My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Another way I can know for sure I'm saved is because I hear the Lord's voice and desire to follow him. And as sons of God, we should hear his voice and obey his word and always follow him.
All right, now you got to pick somebody else on the front row. Right here, all the way over. Pick somebody. Top ball, all right.
Turn to 1 Peter 1. Appreciate the opportunity. I guess this is still on. Won't move far, Amy. 1 Peter 1. Verse 7. 1 Peter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. I want to preach to you a little while about your faith on trial. Amen. Your faith on trial. And, you know, you're either, your faith has been tried, or it is being tried right now, or in about 5 seconds, it's going to be tried, amen. It might be tried when you listen, you might be tried when you listen to me, I don't know. Turn back over to Nehemiah. I know this is a backing up here, but Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 17, I'll give you four things and I'll get out of the way. But, you know, I was sitting there thinking, and God gave me this verse. I didn't even write it down. But, you know, without faith, it is just impossible to please him.
Right.
I mean, you can try all you want in your flesh, and your flesh will fail you, amen. Your flesh, flesh will let you down. I don't care how, you know, the Bible says glory, young man is his strength, amen, and old man's the gray head. It don't matter what you've got. It'll let you down, amen.
Right.
You come up enough up against a hard enough situation or a hard enough trial, you know, and there's one out there for everybody.
That's right.
Amen. You can go around, you know, boasting and crowing like a little rooster or whatever, but that, man, when it comes to it, yeah, you'll cry. Amen. I don't care how big and bad you are. You get enough sad something, and it'll get to your heart. Amen. God's got something to ring everybody's bell. But look here in Nehemiah 8, and look at verse 17. And this is when they had come out of the captivity, and they were trying to get themselves straightened out here. And all the congregation, them that were come out again out of the captivity, made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Jeshua the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so, and there was very great gladness. And I want to preach to you a little while about the trial of your faith. First of all, God is trying you not to make you bitter, but to make you better.
Right.
Not to make you bitter, to make you better. See, they came out of captivity. You came out of captivity, amen.
Right.
I came out of captivity as an 11-year-old boy. I don't know what the preacher was preaching. We were close to that church, and that's where a lot of our folks is buried. We didn't have time to go over there. But I do remember he's preaching hell, and I thought hell was I didn't know what hell was. I thought it was because I heard old people cussing. We'd never been to church. I didn't know what hell was. I thought it was a cuss word. But he's talking about a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And the longer I sat there, the more I sweated, and my knuckles got whiter than this sheet of paper. I mean, I knew I had to do something, amen. Right. And I got released from my captivity. And not only that, but God said in this scripture here, I see God will... He'll not going to blast you, but he's going to bless you, amen.
Amen.
You know, that booth was just like Jonah. Reminds me of Jonah. That booth was kind of keep the hot heat off your head, amen. And God's going to keep the heat off of you. He'll turn up just enough heat to get you well done, amen. He's not going to burn you. Well, you stopped in Brandon, Mississippi. Oh, my word. Them onion rings, like I told my wife, if they hadn't fried them 3 days in a row, we might could have ate them. That's in my life. I don't understand it. Amen. But, you know, you think about Jonah, and you think about, boy, he's glad that God, and then he got bitter, you know, he got mad, because the sun was blasting him. Amen. You know, if it's rubbing you the wrong way, I've always been taught to turn the cat around. Amen. There's something you're not doing exactly right. Amen. If you're having so much trouble, amen, but You gotta get along with God, spend some time with God, people. You gotta have a fellowship and a walk with Him, especially in this day of time. I think of Peter. I think of that. It just gets me. He said, "To whom shall we go, Lord? Thou hast the word of eternal life." Many of his people went back. He asked his immediate disciples, "Will you go away?" They said, "Well, we've got nowhere else to go." What, especially at my age, what am I going to do going out in the world?
Right.
What would I find out there that's better than what I got right here? Yeah. Better than my wife, better than my family, amen. And then here, not only that, but God's not trying to break you, but He's trying to bring you, amen. He's not trying to just break you and bust you up, as the little kids say, but He's trying to bring you. And He's going to bring you in bits and pieces, or He'll bring you, you know, however whole, however He takes to do it. But, you know, He's going to bring you, and He's bringing us, amen, to that land. I'm looking for a day, amen. I'm like Abraham. I'm looking for a place that, builder and maker's God. I've seen enough of this, and to be honest, I'm not impressed. I mean, I'm not impressed at all. I've seen a lot of things this past week, and a lot of people, you know, with their material things and their things, and that's, you know, knock yourself out on it, amen. But I'm just satisfied with what God's done in my heart, in my life. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about going to hell. I don't have to worry about a tribulation, any of that kind of stuff. Don't even have to worry about understanding it. I just know I'm not taking any part of it, amen. All I know is God is good, amen. But you think Joshua. He wasn't trying to break them. He's trying to break them out of their old ways, trying to break them in, take them into a new land. And Joshua was the one that God said, you bring them in that new land. You take where Moses left off and bring them into that promised land. And then last but not least, God is not trying to bust you, but He's trying to bless you, amen. He's not trying to just bust you down and break you down. And sometimes He has to chasten us. He does. If He didn't love you, He wouldn't chasten you, amen. I see these little kids running around, and you have to holler at them about running. We're not trying to tell you not to run because we don't want you to have any fun. We don't want you running somebody old like me and knock me down. I'll break something in here. I got to get it all put back together, amen. But God is not, you know, He's not a big Sandy Claus throwing out candy kisses, of course, but He does love us with everlasting, eternal love.
Amen.
He gave us the best thing heaven had.
That's right.
the very best thing heaven had to save us from hell. And so he's trying to bless you. And you look down here at this, they took this feast and they did all this and they had gladness, amen. It's very great gladness. And we've got that here. I think we do. I think we've got a good church, and I'm so proud of Andrew and the way he conducts himself and the way he tries to stand for the word. And he does stand for the word. He doesn't try. He stands for it. And I see so much stuff, I don't even look at it anymore hardly online. It's just so much milquetoast stuff out there.
Right, yeah.
If I want milk, I go to the refrigerator, sitting on the bottom shelf. I got a jug full, amen. But when I come to church, I need my dirty rotten sins preached. And I know he's a pastor, but he does that, amen. But we need to, you know, we just need a little joy in our life. The Bible says what? The joy of the Lord is your strength.
We'll look at verses, starting at verse number 21, and we'll start reading a few passages. All right, and they went into Capernaum straightway on the Sabbath day. He had entered into the synagogue and taught, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as scribes. And there was there in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuking him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And when they were all amazed, and insomuch that they were questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For what authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him?" And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region around about Galilee. All right, I want to preach to you a few minutes on his fame spread immediately.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is this is in Bible times. There's no social media. They didn't post a Facebook post and everybody knew it. You know, they didn't tweet out a tweet. They didn't, you know, TikTok about it or anything like that. It was word of mouth.
Right.
Shows you the old way still works. Amen.
Yeah.
It was word of mouth. His fame spread immediately, and this isn't, you know, the technology and stuff we have today. It didn't work like that. Let me find my place. You look and see. Why did it spread so quickly? I mean, maybe it was his teaching and his doctrine. Maybe it was the fact that he was healing and cast out an unclean spirit. I'm not sure which one it is, but if you notice, I would think that the fact that healing, because if you look in, you know, later on, you know, you have people singing out for his healing power.
Right.
You know, you have the blind man, and you have the woman with the blood disease, and many others, just that's off the top of my head,
right,
seeking out for his healing power. But my thing is how the news spread so quickly. It didn't spread in a couple of days. It spread immediately throughout all of the region.
Right.
Everybody around, by the end of the day, I assume, already knew about Jesus,
right,
already knew what's going on. Nowadays, you look around, everybody knows about Jesus. But no one knows the truth about Jesus.
Right.
There's very few that know the truth about Jesus. They don't know the truth about the gospel. All right. But you notice how a lot of times, though, when news spread, bad news spreads quicker than good news. Gossip spreads quicker than good news or news. And it doesn't even have to be true. We look at the media, it doesn't have to be true. It has spread. It has spread. Long as it's something, it has spread. It don't have to be good news. It don't have to be bad news. It don't even have to be true. It has spread. And it spreads quickly in the church house. We've seen that. We've seen churches split open because of gossip that we didn't know was true or false. spread quickly, immediately. And but imagine, you know, if we were to, you know, spread more good news around our community, spread more good news, the word of mouth, just talking to people. I would imagine our church would grow. If the word of mouth is the way they done it here. The word of mouth is how churches grow. I heard Brother Jim Chandler preach up, I think it was at Brother Coley's. He said he's got, what, 300 members in his church or something like that? Yeah, he's got a big church. Well, anyway, he said the only reason he said he was running about 50. The only reason his church grew was word of mouth. He said people, he in his church was telling their friends, telling this person, It was word of mouth. His church grew word of mouth. A word of mouth can spread news immediately. You don't have to have social media to spread stuff immediately. But the most important thing is we got to make sure timing is of the essence. As all of y'all understand now, I believe we're getting close to the end times. Of course, it could come, you know, he could come back any moment now. He could come back at like the end of the month, this year, next year. But I feel like time is of the essence. And our most important thing to remember coming to the end time is we need an urgency to spread the gospel. Like I said before, not many people know. Everybody knows about Jesus just about on the tree anyway. But they don't know the truth of the gospel. It hasn't spread like it should. And I just want to give you a few ways to be able to spread it immediately. Spread the news of the gospel immediately. Because it's important. And we need to... Coming at the end times, we need to spread it immediately and try to get people to know the truth. Because there's a lot out there that's not the truth and that spread immediately. A lot of things out there. But like I said, the old ways still work. Soul winning still works. Going door knocking still works. Handing out tracts still works. Supporting our missionaries still works. We can't reach some other countries, but our missionaries can. All these old ways will still work. And we just need to make a time of the essence, you know, talking to people, sharing what he done for us, just finding a way to get to somebody where they can talk to them. You know, you don't know who's going through something, and they're just looking for, people are searching. Because there's so much false doctrine out there that people are searching and looking, and they don't know where to look. But maybe you can get through to them. Maybe with God's power, you can get through to them. Just, you know, praying every time you do go to talk to somebody, every time we go soul winning. Just, making sure we know this is urgent and it's not something, something needs to be done immediately. The word of Jesus needs to spread immediately. We'll go down the road.
I'm thankful for this morning that God treats me as well as he does. I'm not just talking about how he, not my increase, but the fact that he has mercy and grace on me like he does. We certainly don't deserve it, but that just shows, it once again magnifies how great he is. But I tell you this morning, it's hard not to get discouraged when you hear about Christians who are not acting like Christians. It is frustrating, and it's not that I have opinion from a place or a point of self-righteousness. It's that if when you get in this book and you realize what he is, who he is, what he can do, why are you acting the way that you're acting? And it's not to say that we're not going to sin, and we're going to sin. And it's not to say that we're not going to do wrong. But, you know, I think about Paul there. When Paul, God told him, hey, go do this, and Paul decided, no, he wanted to do something else. Well, Paul knew full well what he was supposed to do. He decided not to do it. But at least he had a communication with God. I would sooner have a Christian that knew full well. It's still wrong, and I understand that. But to go off half-cocked and do whatever you want to do and neglect the Lord Jesus Christ is a travesty, and shame on you. and shame on me.
Right.
And that's not mean spirited. That is a detriment and a shame to God's children.
Right.
And you know, the thing about it is, the less you talk to God's children, the better off you are. The more you learn about, hey, I know I can come across that way. You talk to people. There are people I know that I hold in high regard. I don't want to hear nothing bad about nobody because I hold these people in high regard. But there are Christians you'll speak to, and you find out some of their logic by which they live their life, you're going to be sorely disappointed.
Right.
God is not in their decision-making process.
Right.
That doesn't mean that God won't have mercy. He'll have mercy.
Right.
But that is not the point of this life. You're living it wrong if He is not guiding your life.
Right.
And listen, I have several air-conditioned customers. I went to last week. And I've seen this guy year after year after year. Nice guy. He sold medical supplies. And I went there just the other day and talked to his wife, and she said, yeah, he passed away. I was like, passed away? I thought he was fairly young. And she said, yeah, he was 49 years old. He was out in deep sea fishing, died of a heart attack. And his boy was right next to him when he died of a heart attack. 49. And I said, is there any history of a heart condition or illness? Or none. Just died. Boom, on the spot. Like, my goodness. Listen, I heard of a guy one time that jumped out of an airplane, no parachute, fell to the ground, got up, and walked away. I had to look that one up. That's true. I heard of a guy one time picked the nose hair out, got infected, went to his brain, and killed him. Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, and there ain't no. It seems as though there's no rhyme or reason to this, but bless God, listen, there is.
Right.
There is, amen. The fact is that God's people, the reason they don't allow God to lead them and guide them and direct them because they don't understand what a big God He really is.
Right.
They don't understand the magnitude and the scope by which the God of this Bible is, amen.
Right.
They're simply showing up to church hoping that something, maybe if I show up at the church house and rub up against it, something good will happen to me, amen. And that is nonsense. The Bible says right here in Psalm 23, and I love this, the Lord is. The Lord is. You can't get three words into it, and you're devastated right off the bat. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. That's going to blow out the agnostic, the atheist, the unbeliever. I'm here to tell you this morning, people today, if they can't see God in a test tube and say, I don't see the evidence, they're done. And the fact of the matter is, God will reveal Himself to the believer. When you believe is when God steps in and does something for you and I. The Lord is. The Lord is. When Moses stood before Pharaoh, God said, he told Moses, he said, tell him that I am sent you. I am. That's present. That's right now. The Lord is. He's a very present God. He's very present in a time of need. That's when you need Him, that's when He is. Amen. A preacher said one time, what that verse means is that in your darkest hour, He is able to get to where you are quicker than right now. Quicker than right now. Amen. He's a right now kind of God. The Lord is. The Lord is. The Lord, Psalms 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God and my strength. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Psalm 94:22, the Lord is my defense. And my God is the rock of my refuge. Psalm 118:14, the Lord is my strength and my song, and He's become my salvation. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek them. Why do I, why not I have as much as brother so-and-so, or why this and why this? And we ask the wrong questions, amen, amen. I've heard people say, one day maybe I can be just like brother so-and-so. God doesn't want you to be like brother so-and-so this morning. You're not where you're supposed to be because you haven't bowed your head to an almighty God. The Lord is. A preacher said one time, the Lord that is, always has been, is, and always will be, is. He is not a has-been.
Right.
He is an is.
Yeah.
God is my God for right now. He's when I need Him the most. Amen.
Right.
The Lord is. The Lord is. The Bible says right here, if he is my shepherd, amen, and that's the problem. When you continue this verse, the Lord is, we can't even get past that, but the Lord is my shepherd. Right. You got a lot of people that, I think Brother Nick said it, they understand this concept of God, but he is not their shepherd. They are not being led by the Lord Jesus Christ. They are not being led by this book, amen. They just recognize, yes, you're Lord, but you'll have no part of my heart and you'll have no part of my life. I'm tired of this can't do attitude. Can't never could, amen. I can't get it done. Well, bless God, amen. I had to come to the point in my life where I realized I couldn't do it. That's the best thing that ever happened to me is realizing I can't do it. And he can. And he is. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I know he's God years ago, and I know, but we're not promised tomorrow, amen. When I read this verse tomorrow, you know what it's going to say? It's going to say the Lord is.
Right.
And he's the is for tomorrow, and he's the is for the day after that. But we're not promised tomorrow. Serve God today, now. The Bible says it's the hour of salvation. Now's the time to serve him. Right now.
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. But after that, it says, I shall not want. Listen, this morning, my wanter is not broken. It's in full force. I want to go eat after church. I got a list of wants in my Amazon cart. And you say, what does this mean right here? Amen. I shall not want. That means if you ever get a taste of the Savior, I'm going to be satisfied with God this morning. Amen. You say, does that make you a great trip? No, what I'm saying is, after I found the real thing, I don't need anything else. Amen. Man, that went so fast. The best part was yet to come. Amen. Oh, Brother Bowling, how about that?
Well, I am going to change it, amen, I don't know why this thing resumed to, I had it set for 8 minutes, I mean, you'll tell me, amen. I appreciate coming up here. I am going to change my message a little bit. Brother Stephen got me fired up a little bit, so it's just like I went into the church, I got to fill in for a pastor Wednesday night, and I walk into church, first thing they say, well, there's that end times preacher, amen, so I knew that was coming, amen. I knew that label was going to attach to me, and that's okay. I'll wear it proudly, amen, because the end times are coming. I don't expect to get through this message before we come back. That's how end times I am, amen. But I am going to, Brother Stephen brought up a lot of points, and I'm just going to kind of continue on with his message, if that's okay. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you can turn there if you want to. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy own understanding.
Right.
In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
Yes,
okay? Now, I'm just going to tell you something. I would not be up here preaching to you 3 years ago. I would not have been up teaching Sunday school 3 years ago. Why? I wasn't off in some odd godly ungodly sin. I wasn't living a wicked life, amen. But I was not as close to God as I am now, amen. I thank God for some things. I thank God for COVID. Hey. Why in the world would you? I'm going to tell you something. I thank God for COVID. What Satan meant for bad, God meant for good.
Right.
If it hadn't have been for COVID, I would not be teaching. I would not be preaching to you, because I tell you what, I was out living in the world. I had a good job, amen, and it shut her down because I was not doing what they wanted me to do with COVID. I'm a registered nurse, for you that don't know. I didn't agree with the things that went on. You can argue with it or think about it all you want, but I was not going to do it. Amen. I didn't agree with it, and I left the healthcare field, amen, to never go back, amen. And I did that because I couldn't agree with things. But God used that for good. I had a bigger house than what I got right now. I had a nicer house, amen. What the devil meant for bad, God meant for good. Amen. I'm still a blessed man. Amen. God has not turned his back on me. I haven't lost anything. Understand that. Understand. God has blessed me tremendously, and I thank God for it. You know, you're going around, like Brother Stephen was talking about, being faithful to God, amen.
Yeah.
Being faithful. I've known Brother Jeff and Miss Erlene for 30 years. And you know what? They've got three children. I know all three of them. Two of them's in this church today.
Right.
Faithful to everything. The other one's probably out preaching somewhere, amen.
Yeah.
Why is that? Do they have some certain recipe? They've got a secret recipe that we don't know about raising children? No. They've been faithful. I've known them for 30 years. Faithful. Amen.
Yeah.
That's what it takes. Amen. You're raising, I think, it blesses my heart to see some of these young folks in here. They bring their families in every week, every time, every service. Amen. Because they're faithful. That's what it takes. Amen. You want to raise a family right? You want to have a family singing up for God? You got to be faithful. Amen.
Yeah.
I don't know what got me there. It does bless my heart to see young people. Like Brother Jeff said, I'm old. There ain't nothing this world got for me anyway. I've about lost anything. I can sit down now. I mean, you know, a couple of years ago, I'm ready to go out and do everything. Amen. I enjoy traveling. Amen. But I tell you what, being faithful. You want to raise your children right? Be faithful. Amen. You want to get a hold of God? You be faithful. Amen.
Right.
I don't know why you got me back here teaching Sunday school. Amen. There's some folks that don't even come to Sunday school, amen. Evidently, they know everything and don't need to be back there learning anything, amen. I don't know. You've got to be faithful to the things of God, amen. And let me tell you something. Being faithful, it's not going to cost you anything but some time, amen. But boy, the rewards are out of this world, amen. It's being faithful. It's getting a hold of God. Let me tell you something. I am an end times preacher, and I do believe the end's coming. Amen. And I think before that, you need to get a hold of God. Amen. You better put the things that these temporal things ain't gonna last. Amen.
Right.
You can have the best houses. You can have the fastest cars. I know Brother Mike's out of here. I keep telling him to get right with God. He'll give me that Mustang. But hey, look, you can have the best of everything. But I'm telling you what. It's coming to an end. You better be laying up some heavenly treasures, amen. You better be putting the stuff of this world aside, amen. You better stay off Amazon, amen. You better be looking. Preach to yourself, Brother Jim. Amen. I get them boxes at my house too, amen. He's coming back soon, amen. He's coming back soon. You can be prepared. We can go to heaven. It's just like I talked back there. If you're a true believer in God, you're going into rapture. But there's a judgment seat coming after that, amen?
Right.
And it's just like I taught last week. I'm going to have to answer for a lot of things to that judgment seat that I don't look forward to, amen?
Right.
God gave me a mouth. He allowed me. I can go and I can talk to anybody. I don't care whether it's a ditch digger or the President of the United States. I have a gift. I can go up and talk to anybody. And you know what? I've not been witnessing as I should, amen? I've not been a soul winner I should. That's what God blessed me with. That's a gift I have, and I can talk to and do talk to anybody. But I'm going to have to answer for that, amen?
Right.
I haven't been as faithful with that as I should have, amen? You better be looking for some rewards for heaven, amen? This thing's fixing to come to an end. Brother, I'm going to stop right there. I'm just going to stop. Amen? Amen. Brother Charlie?
One for me just a few moments ago. I just got up here. Might have answered y'all's prayer. But I was sitting over there and said, Lord, you created everything and you control everything. And Lord, would you please ask Brother Stephen to ask Brother Jim to preach next because I'm about to pee my pants. And if I got to get up there, I don't think I'm going to make it. And when he called, I about had me a shouting fit. I had to go to the bathroom. Mark chapter 6, title of the mini micro message is, Don't Be a Herodian. Don't be a Herodian. Mark chapter 6, look in verse 20. Mark chapter 6, verse 20. For Herod, this is talking about King Herod, feared John. It's talking about John the Baptist. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him, and when he had heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. So Herod, King Herod, liked John the Baptist. King Herod gladly enjoyed listening to John the Baptist.
Right.
And I looked up the word gladly. It means happily, cheerfully, gleefully, joyfully. King Herod liked listening to John the Baptist. Right. It's what the Bible says. You see that? It says gladly. Until John said something that Herod didn't like. Herod enjoyed listening to John preach until John preached against his sin. Look in verse 17. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John. And so he arrested him right there. For Herod himself had sent forth, laid hold upon John, and bound him where? Well, Herod, I thought you liked listening to John. I thought you gladly, gleefully, joyfully, happily. You enjoyed listening to John preach. What happened? Look in verse 18. For John said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Uh-oh. A Herodian is somebody who likes the preacher, who enjoys listening to the preacher, who gladly likes it, who gladly and joyfully, gleefully. I mean, well, we look forward to coming to church until the preacher says something that we don't like.
Yeah.
Herod got so upset, he had him arrested and put in prison. That's a Herodian. So a Herodian might say, I don't see any sense in him talking about that.
Right.
I just don't see anything wrong with it. I like listening to a preacher. He's good. But when he hits on that topic, he does not know what he's talking about. And he always talks about that. Why has he always got to talk about that? Why has he always got to bring up that subject? Why can't he let that go? You're probably a Herodian. You really like listening to him, but he just needs to stay off of that.
Right.
Ain't nobody going to talk to me like that. Listen, if you haven't done anything wrong, why are you getting so upset?
Right.
Why does it bother you so bad? Why do you get an attitude about it? And I've seen, listen, we've all been in church. We've seen people. Preacher will get up and preach something, and you can see it. You ain't even got to say a word. I don't have to go over to you and listen to you gripe, fuss, complain, and get aggravated about what the preacher just said. It's all over your face. He sees it too. You know how many times a preacher gets up and singing, and boy, you're singing and smiling, and he'll get plowing and get preaching, look up, and you got to, you know, it's a Herodian. You got a Herodian for a church member. That's what a Herodian is. So a Herodian is somebody who enjoys coming to church, who likes coming to church, who likes listening to preaching. But, buddy, when you hit on their sin, listen, Herod had this man arrested and put in prison. He didn't just walk out the church service and didn't go back. That's mad. That's real mad. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you perfect? Is there anybody in here sinless? No, I don't think I'm giving you an opportunity to raise your hand. If you're perfect and you're sinless, let us know. Okay, none of us are. So if we have a Bible-believing preacher who's going to preach the whole counsel of God, guess what's going to happen from time to time? He's going to nail you to the wall in what you're doing. Amen? If he preaches the whole counsel, and we've already all determined none of us are perfect, none of us are sinless, so whatever it is that you struggle with, the preacher is ultimately going to hit on that at some point or another. How are you going to handle that? How are you going to get up? You get upset? You're going to get mad? You're going to let it drive you from church? I have seen this drive people from church. I have seen people come to this church who got in on the fellowship, who was in on everything, but the preacher talked about a subject, and buddy, they locked down and walked out the door. It's going to happen at some point. And don't be a Herodian when it happens. Listen, you say, has a preacher ever rung your bell? Yes. Has a preacher ever said something you didn't like? Yes. But still the Word of God.
Amen.
See, everybody wants a Bible-believing preacher until you get a Bible-believing preacher. And we think it's funny when preachers preaching on other people's sin. We do. I've seen you elbow people, and I've seen y'all. I've seen you. It's all fun and games until he calls out you, calls out what you're doing. Imagine if you go to a gym and you hire a personal trainer. And that trainer's there to motivate you, encourage you, tell you what you need to do. But imagine you pay this trainer and you get there and he starts telling you to do this. And you're like, I don't want to do that. Quit yelling at me. Quit telling me what to do. It'd be ridiculous to pay a personal trainer to do that. Instead, you want one that whenever you go in there, you show up and they say, well, I'd like for you to do this. Well, I don't really feel, oh, that's okay, baby. You did good just by showing up. Here, have a donut.
That's my trainer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what people want. Christians come to church, want preaching, and then when the preacher finally preaches, they get upset. Paul said in Galatians 4:16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? This man is not your enemy. But when he stands up and he preaches out of this book, and it's from this book, and it goes against what you believe, what you like, what you feel, what your opinion is, what your thoughts are on it, if you let that get you upset, you're a Herodian. You're somebody who is not real. You like listening as long as it doesn't ring your bell. You like listening to it. It's enjoyable and it's fun and it's all great until you get called on the carpet. And listen, John the Baptist went to Herod and said, it's not lawful for you to have her. John divorced his wife and married his brother's wife, which she had to get a divorce from her husband, from Philip. Herod, did I say it wrong? Oh, John. John told Herod that he had married his brother's wife. I believe that a Bible-believing pastor in this age, in 2022, will receive a special reward in heaven for preaching this book. Why? Because this generation gets their feelings hurt easier than any generation before it. Do you realize there are universities and colleges in America today that have coloring classes and dog petting rooms for people, for students that are triggered, that are upset, that get their feelings hurt, they hear things they don't like? You can walk into a room and there are coloring books with crayon colors. And that's what he's having. And listen, that's crept into the church. That theory and that thought of, you don't talk to me like that. Who do you think you are? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm about done. I hope I just got a few more minutes and I'll be done. 20 seconds. I'm going to quote it to you. Paul told Timothy to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said the time will come. We're there. Don't be a Herodian. Listen, you know you can't preach me out of church. Brother Steve, I don't care if you got up and you watched me for a week and you preached on everything I did, you can't get me out of church. And I've always said you need to leave church three ways: glad, sad, or mad. You need to leave church every Sunday. If you walk out of a church and you're not glad, you're not sad, you're not mad, you didn't go to church. Save the best for last.
This verse, John 3:16. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I probably should get out my notes, but I don't think I'm going to follow them anymore. So I talk to my wife about this a lot, about love as a choice. I honestly believe that God chose to love. There's nothing that we did that required it. There's nothing that he did that required it. He chose. Because of that choice, there was action. Let's start. First of all, I don't believe God loves everybody. I'm sorry, and I hate seeing those signs. God loves you. How do you know God loves the person that's reading that sign? Maybe he doesn't. You know, the Bible specifically says, you know, in Rome, I didn't write the verse. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. There's differences there. And was there a difference? Not really. He just said, hey, I love this one and I don't like that one.
Right.
You know, there's a choice there. God made that choice to love Jacob and not to love Esau.
Yeah, right.
Okay? All right? Second of all, you know, if God loved everybody, let's just take the assumption God loved everybody. God's love's worth nothing. If everybody's got it, who wants it?
Yeah.
You know? Think about it. If everybody had $1 million, $1 million wouldn't be worth much. I cherish God's love.
Amen.
Because you know what? God chose to give it to me.
Amen.
He chose me. Now, I am not a Calvinist. I don't believe that I was chosen and ordained before the beginning of time. I don't believe that. But I do believe God chose to love the world, and I got in on that.
Amen.
Amen. I'm also going to talk a little bit about adoption. I'm adopted. My stepdad adopted me. You know what that tells me? He chose to become my father. He chose that. There's no way he didn't choose that. He signed the papers. I'll never forget, you know, we were sitting in the judge's office, and we were in this half circle, and I'm over here. My dad's college roommate sitting here. My dad's sitting here. I could not see my dad. And I remember the judge going, hey, do you pick that man as your father? And I went, no way. I don't know that dude. And my dad kind of leans over, and I'm like, oh, yeah, him. Yeah, that's good. But my dad chose to be there that day. He chose to sign the papers. He chose to give me his name. You know, I was. We were out at Guntersville at this harbor yesterday. We went to this Puerto Rican food truck, and I laughed at the lady that was at the door. I said, "You know, I'm Puerto Rican." And she looked at me and went, "Huh?" I'm like, "My last name's Roman, Roman. My grandpa's name is Andalusio. You cannot get more Puerto Rican than that." You know, I joke with everybody about that. You know, I'm white. My dad's Puerto Rican, 150%. But I laugh because I say he's more whiter than me. I know more Spanish than him. You know. But you know, my dad chose to adopt me, and it says here, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Now, we all determined just now that love is a choice. We choose to do that. I wake up every morning and choose to love my wife. It's not, I'm not in love with my wife. It's not just built into me. I have to choose that. I have to choose that. I love my kids because I choose to love my kids. I know we have emotions, we have affection. But love needs to be chosen. You know, I chose my wife out of the millions of women. Well, they probably wouldn't all accept me, but, you know, I chose my wife. She chose me. It is a choice. Okay? I love my wife. Every morning I wake up and I say, "I love this woman." And I make sure that I show that. My choice should affect my actions. God chose that to love us. Therefore, he did these things. He gave. He gave his only begotten son because he loved us. He didn't give us his only begotten son and then choose. No, he chose first, and that affected his actions. When I choose to love my wife, it affects the way I treat her. I esteem her higher than others. I do things for her that I wouldn't do for anybody else. I get up in the morning and go to work because of my wife. I am lazy. I am selfish. I wouldn't do it. If it was just to me, I wouldn't do it. I'd go live in a cardboard box. I don't care. But because I love my wife, I get up every morning and go to work. I come home. Well, I'm home all the time. But, you know, I work late. I do these things because I love my family. You know, our beliefs, our choices should affect. These men have talked about, you know, doing things, you know, preaching immediately. You know, that is our beliefs. If I believe that we're at the end times, it should affect the way I live. If I believe in God and he saved me, it should affect the way I live. You know, just like the choice that God had to love me has affected the way he treats me. I feel like his only son. You've all heard the song. Yeah. You know, he showers that affection and that love on me because he chose to do that. It changes the way he treats me. You know, if he doesn't love you, he doesn't treat you the same way. You know, I treat my wife differently. You know, it should become a habit. I tell my wife all the time, I love her more today than I did the day I got married, because it's become a habit. It's become a habit to get up. It's become a habit to say I love you. It's become a habit to show appreciation. My wife does more for me than you guys will ever know. And you know what? This is another thing. You should, to go along, this isn't in my notes, but to go along with what the other preacher said, I publish what my wife does and my affection to my wife to the world. You can ask my wife. She laughs all the time. She said, "You're talking about me again at work." I'm like, "Yeah, I talk about you, okay? I love you. I tell you how much good you do to me. I tell you how much, I tell people how much I love my wife." That's how we should be with God. If we say we love God, why are we not publishing it? Why are we not out saying, "Hey, I love my God, and he's done this for me, and he treats me so well. Maybe you should get on this." You know, like I said, though, it should be a habit. You know, we should go out, and because we're loved and love God back, there should be things that just happen. We don't have to think about them. They become habit. Yes, at first it's difficult. You know, we have to get, you know, I'm sorry, rough days in the first part of your marriage, figuring it all out, you know. Setting that habit, though, makes a difference.
Right.
You know, in our Christian life, there should be things that are just habit. Coming to Sunday service shouldn't be a question.
Right.
It should be a habit.
Right.
You know, I show up here because what else am I going to do? I haven't done anything for, you know, I'm going to be here. You know, but that's it. Just know that, you know, God's love is a choice. It should affect the way you live.
God spoke to you during these messages, and you want to talk to him, you can take time to do that. As Brother Jeremy's preached, I appreciate all the messages. They were all good, weren't they? Good preaching. When he made that comment about God doesn't love everybody, I saw the tension come in the room. John 3:36 says, if you do not have the Son, the wrath of God abides on you. That's what it says. God so loved, past tense, the world, and he loved you enough to send his Son to die on the cross for you, but now it's up to you.
That's right.
If I gave my Son for you and you did not accept him, I would not love you at all.
Right.
Amen. And so I appreciate that message. But let's sing page number 267. I'm throwing this on him. I know whom I have believed. Do you know this one?
Yes, sir.
Amen. All right, page 267 in your hymn book. I know whom I have believed. All the messages were good. If there's something that God spoke to your heart about in any of the messages, do business with him as we sing this.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I am believing and am persuaded that he is able. And every
thankful I know whom I have believed. Amen. Regardless of what comes, I know he is the one that is in control. Amen. Appreciate all the preaching. Thank you, men. I know you put time in, and 8 minutes goes by really fast, but you did a good job preaching. I thank you for doing that. And God's given us some good men, some good families, and I thank the Lord for it. Amen. There's pastors all over that struggle to have anybody to help out in their church. And we have a plethora of preachers that do a good job, and I'm thankful for it. So from the youngest to the oldest, did a good job preaching. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Nursing home's at 2 o'clock, so please be in prayer for those that are going. If you want to go, you're more than welcome to come. And Brother Bowen is going to be preaching today, so please pray for him. Lord, thank you for loving us. We thank you for being a great God. Lord, thank you for these messages that we heard today, Lord. Father, I pray you were pleased with every one of them. God, I believe they came from a right heart. God, I know they came from the right book. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just please take what was preached and help apply it to our hearts. Help us to be a Christian, Lord, that God pleases you in everything that we do. Help us to make decisions that please you, Lord. Help us to tell others about you. Father, as Brother Jeremy preached, I'm so thankful, God, that you chose to love me. And Father, I'm so thankful that you saved me. God, if there be anybody here today that's not saved, I pray, Father, that before they leave, they get one of us, Lord, and ask about that before it's eternally too late. And Father, I pray you'd encourage the Christian, Lord, that you'd strengthen, God, convict those that need to be convicted, comfort those that need to be comforted, Lord. I pray you did all that this morning, and we'll thank you and praise you for all that you did for us. Bless the nursing home service this afternoon. I pray, God, you get honor from it as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.